mentioned in the G8, but we know till September Iran's nuclear dossier is to be offered to the UN General Assembly. We have only a few months left. Given this fact and the interference by some Western powers recently, what is Iran's stance?
Well, I don't know where you got the news from.
The news is this way. On 10th of Shaarvar, the end of summer, where the General Assembly of the United Nations will be held, the decision that is going to be made in the Italian summit, the G8 ministers are going to have a meeting there at the UN sessions to follow the issue through. It's not actually taking Iran's nuclear dossier to that UN General Assembly. No news on that. This week, there was talks of attacks on the Iranian embassy in Sweden. Last week, again, I asked regarding an attack on the German embassy, and you answered me. What has happened? We can see this in a more serious way, a more serious attack on the Iranian embassy. Sometimes they also talk about capturing of the Iranian embassy and clashing with the staff members, which means trampling upon the diplomatic convention. Well, there's been a group of around 100 people who staged a demonstration in front of our embassy in Stockholm, Sweden. Well, from their banners and also the measures taken later on, they posted things and stuff on the website and the photos and their attacks against our embassy. Well, these are usually conducted by the MKO and terrorist groups, anti-revolutionary elements, who have all of them boycotted the election. And the same group on the election day, they tried to create serious disruption in the parliament. They had both boycotted the parliament, and they had also resorted to violence and insulted the voters on the election day, and they meant to actually prevent them from casting their ballots. Therefore, this group that attacked the embassy, it has nothing to do with voters and candidates and supporters. Despite the police presence, which has not been proportionate, they entered our embassy, they created lots of damage to the embassy building, they broke down a car in the embassy, and also three of our colleagues in the embassy, our diplomats, were wounded. It's evident that this contradicts the Vienna Convention on Diplomats' Rights, and naturally the government of Sweden is responsible for the financial damage and also the psychological damage done to our diplomats. It's their duty bound to compensate this. Attackers have been identified. Everyone knows that the high tech that the security police in Sweden is using, they can easily identify those people. So no problem identifying those people, be it before the attack or after it. So we expect them, given the ties between Iran and Sweden, we expect the Swedish government to take responsible action, and which has been in clear violation of diplomatic rights, and we expect the Swedish government to compensate for all the damage done, be it psychological or financial. I was an Iranian envoy to Sweden before. I do not have any hard feelings, any negative thinking about Sweden, but Stockholm is famous for an insecurity for diplomats, actually. It's known for this. This is not the first time embassies are attacked in Sweden. In April 1975, the Western German embassy there was attacked by Baader-Meinhof group, and they even killed the military attaché of Germany and also the commercial attaché of Germany in that country. In April 1992, also Iranian embassy was attacked by the MKO members, and you know, they approached as far as our residence, the residence of the then Iranian ambassador. Always diplomats in Stockholm have been worried about their security. Maybe this is due to negligence of the Swedish police in that connection. And it's natural when we announce Western countries, we warned Western countries, including Sweden, when there is a terrorist MKO group with this record, when you delist it from terrorist groups, then such a group with such a record, they will naturally embark on terrorist acts. And we think the Swedish government, in order to prevent similar incidents from recurring in the future, they need to responsibly and promptly compensate for this. You are aware that it's a long time that England and America have been plundering the riches and resources of the Iranian people, and they're still intending to do that. Last year, in a press conference with the president, I told the president, as the late Imam closed the U.S. embassy, that was actually a den of espionage in this country, it is required that the leader, with your help, also close down the British embassy in this country. Okay, you don't have to analyze this. What's your question? Isn't it high time that Iran closed down the British embassy? Okay, I respect your sentiments, but I should say no. Closing down of any embassies in Iran is not on our agenda for the time being. I want to know the reason why a visa was not issued for the Iranian envoy to the UN, and if this happens again, are we going to take legal action? The American side announced 2-3 days ago that they are investigating the reason for this, whether it has been a political reason or it has been an administrative problem, given the fact that the meeting was delayed several times. It's not clear yet what the real reason has been, if it has been really political. Well, like I said, we should wait for that to be studied. I cannot give you any final response. They are looking into the issue to see if it is an administration issue or the time limit for the provision of the documents. We're looking into it, and we will give you the result. In late July, there was an NA, this non-aligned movement, will be held in Egypt. Given the present condition, will President Ahmadinejad attend that meeting? No, Mr. Ahmadinejad said in a press conference with reporters that he has no plan to participate in the Egypt Sharm el-Sheikh meeting. Mr. Solana said he's prepared to continue talks, but then we did not answer that. And also, when some Western diplomats say that after the election we're waiting to see what the results will be in Iran so that we can continue talks with Iran or have our comments, the president said a few days ago that regarding talks, we asked him about talks. He said we'll do that after the election. Is this proportionate with our policies? Regarding the nuclear dossier, I said there has been nothing new about the nuclear program to tell you here, but on the whole, the president a few days ago said that the people of Iran has always been after interaction and dialogue. Well, we believe that on condition that there is no interference in our internal affairs, and if they really mean to propose constructive solutions, we have a constructive role in solving world issues. One of those issues can be nuclear disarmament or establishment of security on world level or the financial crisis that has beset the world community. In issues like this, as you know, the Iran, after the election is more powerful, is more influential than it used to be, with reliance on 85% turnout of the Iranian people in the election. Therefore, the situation has completely changed. Naturally, from now on, we will enter this stage with more influence, to have more impact, relying on people's votes and the turnout that you witnessed, and the ever-increasing legitimacy and acceptance of the Islamic establishment among society members. We will therefore have a more powerful, has always been powerful, but it will be more powerful and more influential after the election. The Western side should also know that on a general basis, we are always after interaction and dialogue, and we never negated this. We have always been willing to take part in constructive settlement of world issues and crises and also regional problems. We have always been prepared for this. Well, election was held here, and the impact of the election, I'm stressing here, that allows us to act more powerfully and with more popular acceptance to follow through our foreign policy. This has been a great achievement that happened in this election. As you know, investment and using gas and oil reservoirs is among the priorities of the 9th government and will hopefully be in the 10th government. I want to ask you, what are the most important measures in the diplomatic sector of the government to make better use of the Caspian Sea oil resources in a better way? Well, as a matter of fact, our measures regarding the part of the Caspian Sea which we feel it belongs to us, regarding the exploitation of the resources there. Well, this is happening. We are in talks with Caspian Littoral Estates to reach a shared mechanism based on the interests of all Caspian Littoral States, based on mutual respect and national benefit. It's not only optimal use of it, it's actually more export of these resources, like hydrocarbon resources in the Caspian Sea. The trend is continuing. Of course, the details will be offered by the oil ministry. The same trend is going on in the Persian Gulf, like the issue of gas. You know, there's a major meeting going to be held in Qatar tomorrow in the presence of gas exporters. Oil Minister Mr. Nozare is going to take part in that meeting. Our delegation is already there. And we think in this general process of regional cooperation for optimal use of gas and oil resources in the region, we can have our plans within the framework of interaction. Regarding coup d'etat in Honduras and Iran's stance on that issue. Well, we condemn the coup d'etat in Honduras. You know, Honduras is a member of the ALBA. Last Wednesday, ALBA, which has members from major Latin American countries, they had a meeting in Caracas, Venezuela. Mr. Ahmadinejad's re-election as president was congratulated in the ALBA meeting, and they asked for non-interference of other powers in Iran's internal issues and election issues. Honduras was among those countries. We want the restoration of peace and order and a legitimate government, as well as security to Honduras. Mr. Hushyar Zebari for several times has announced, he's talked about unrest in Iran will bring insecurity for Iraq, which is surprising to us. Iranian Foreign Ministry has not given them any reaction in that connection. Could you shed more light on the G8 interference in Iran affairs.
Well, we have had very good and brother relations with Iraq, and you know that Iraqi officials are among those officials in regional countries that congratulated Mr. Ahmadinejad's re-election as president. Always after restoration of peace and security in Iraq. Well, comments at times can be made in different ways. But the average of all the comments made in Iraq, we do not find that negative. Even in recent incidents, like many other brotherly and Muslim countries in the region, who adopted a positive stance. You know, Arab countries in the region had some positive comments regarding the recent incidents in Iran, like United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar, and elsewhere. You know better. And news, Iraqi officials, too, had positive stances on the recent issues. We always want restoration of peace and security to Iraq. We think that national sovereignty and independence of the people of Iraq must always be respected, and we have always believed that the people of Iraq fully deserve to have in their security in their own hands and maintain it. And you know that today there is a celebration in Iraq. They're celebrating the exit of American troops from urban areas. They're going back to their garrisons, so Iraqis are celebrating it today. As a brotherly and neighbor country, we think any measure regarding to removal of occupation, and which is in respect for Iraq's sovereignty and independence, we also share the same feelings and celebrate with Iraqis. And the average of the comments has been like this, and if some people have their own comments, this does not conform with the general process. This will not impact the general process. The general process is deepening of relations, brotherhood, and more enhanced cooperation between the two countries of Iran and Iraq. Regarding G8 interference, well, the past experience of the past 30 years after the Islamic Revolution, it shows that the more Western powers come out and decide to have friendship with Iranian people, the more it benefits them, including those in the G8. Like the same way interferences will leave negative impacts. Well, today the most optimistic analysts, when they criticize the new conservative policies of America and those of George Bush, like issues like the economic crisis and other issues that the Western countries are grappling with, not bankruptcies of great corporations and banks, rising unemployment that's happening in the UK, for example, the sharp reduction of economic growth in these countries, including the countries membering the Group of Eight. No analysts can say that this has been part of the adventurous policies and interfering policies of Mr. Bush. In other countries, they can see the complications inside the American community and other allies of the United States. They can see this. Obviously, we think that this they should take learn a lesson out of this, and such interferences in other countries' affairs will have no implications but the issues I mentioned. Therefore, through friendship, of course, action is more important. At the same time, you shouldn't just judge a book by its cover. In action, if we see friendly ties, we're always ready for being friends. First question regarding talks with G5+1. Do we have any plans to meet the representatives of G5+1, with Mr. Solana or other people like him? The second question regarding ties with Britain. You talked about reduction of level of ties or closing of ties. These are out of the question. But in the past few days, two diplomats have been expelled, and some of the local Iranian staff have been arrested. Does Iran plan to
actually restrict the activities of the UK embassy in Iran?
Well, Mr. Mardukhi's question focused on reduction of level of ties. Well, it means, for example, ambassador level to Chargé d'affaires. This has nothing to do with expulsion or arrest of local staff members. Therefore, interpretations must be made exact, and I give you an exact response. The reduction of level of ties is not on our agenda with any of European countries, like I said, including Britain. What about talks with Mr. Solana or 5+1? Well, regarding the nuclear story, there has been no new development to be raised here. The Oman King's visit is going to have a visit. Sultan Qaboos is going to have a visit. Farah, is it clear when? Well, they're in the middle of talks. It's not exactly determined yet, but through diplomatic avenues, talks are being made to set a certain time for both parties for a visit. This is being done, but I cannot give you an exact date now. Given the interferences of the UK government and the recent unrest, will the Foreign Ministry give a good response to these interferences? And will they? It's the question of a garden belonging to the UK embassy in the Hague neighborhood in Tehran. Well, this is a judicial process in Tehran. When this was being in question, the relevant organizations will do what they have to do. I have nothing to add, no more information to add regarding this.
Question
is being asked in Arabic.
هذا من جهة هذه السياسات التي تتبع من جهة أخرى نحن رأينا أن هناك تدخلات في الشغف في أحداث الشغف التي حدثت أخيرا في إيران تدخلات من قبل الإنجليز كلا كيف تقرؤون السياسة البريطانية مع إيران سؤال الثاني أنه إيران لم تشارك في اجتماع G8 الذي عقد في إيطاليا احتجاجا على التدخلات الأوروبية إيران. البعض يريد أن يقول أنه إيران هل تخلت عن أفغانستان؟ بماذا تردون؟ وشكرا لكم.
Well, the first question, she said that Mr. Miliband has contacted Mr. Motaki, the Iran foreign minister, and she was talking about the trend of interference of the British in Iran affairs. I said, Mr. Miliband, in his talks, what he stressed in his talks, and both in the letter that he sent to Mr. Motaki and on the telephone conversation that he had with our foreign minister, Mr. Miliband announced that we're not going to interfere in Iranian affairs. What happened till yesterday? This is what the intelligence minister gave full information about, like the raison d'etre for all the arrests. The arrest of the local staff of the British Embassy. He elaborated on this and also regarding the expulsion of the two diplomats, which has been due to non-conventional diplomatic approaches. That's what the intelligence minister explained in full. Mr. Miliband said, we have no such intention to interfere. And Mr. Motaki said, if we see in action that there is no interference, this can be from now on, it can impact regulating the two countries' ties. The second question. We have our own independent policy. There is no change in our policies. And in diplomacy, there is action and then there is reaction. You see, you should first see interference and then show reaction. Nobody in foreign policy likes to have any emotional reaction. We are not after that as diplomats. based on sentiments. We don't show reaction. We try to be realistic. We are realistic. And in foreign policy, no successful diplomacy will be after adventurism. They act based on evidence and documents and show reaction. Therefore, there is no reason to mention a country and not to mention another country's name for no good reason. These can be based on evidence and documents. As the Foreign Ministry and the Parliament Commission discussed, they talked about all these evidence. What I mean is based on the respect of Western countries, the respect they have for our independence, for our sovereignty, and as long as they don't interfere in Iran internal affairs and they recognize the more powerful Iran after the election, which is now much more powerful and more influential before the election time due to the 85% turnout, and it actually enjoys a higher legitimacy on the international level, if they recognize these and also admit and correct some of their past mistakes, we will always remain committed to have interactions and we will be never after animosities to continue or tensions to continue. Regarding the second question that you said, G8 interference that you mentioned, no, that's not true. In my statements, after Mr. Mutaki did not attend that meeting, we said that technical preparations were going to be made. There was a telephone conversation between Mr. Frattini and Mr. Mutaki, and he was supposed to have a visit. We said if the meeting is going to be an effective one regarding Afghanistan, and if Iran is going to play its share, it needs some close consultations to be made and for preparations to be made. Well, those preparations were not made, the arrangements were not made, therefore we couldn't feel that our presence could have a positive impact that we had in our mind. Okay, thank you very much, and have a good day.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Hassan Rashkhavi addressing journalists there in his weekly press briefing. Let's take a quick look at some of the things that he said. He said that 5 of the 9 local staff at the British embassy in Iran, in the capital Tehran, have been released, speaking about Iran accuses Britain of meddling in its internal affairs, but he said that the foreign secretary David Miliband has called his Iranian counterpart, Manoohar Mottaki, and has written a letter to him as well, reassuring him that the UK does not intend to interfere in Iran's internal affairs. And he said that those who attacked the Iranian embassy in Stockholm, Sweden, will have to pay damages. He said there were 100 demonstrators, all of them can be identified, and they will be held responsible for the physical and psychological damage that they have done to the staffers in Stockholm. And he said that Iran is not going to close any embassies yet, that is not on the Iranian government's agenda. He said Iran is interested in constructive dialogue with others over its nuclear program and indeed on nuclear disarmament as a whole. He said Iran is ready to help resolve regional issues. He also said that Iran has emerged stronger from its election, the presidential election that was held on June the 12th, and the aftermath of it that all of you are informed of. And he said that Iran condemns the coup in Honduras, the coup that has toppled the country's president, and now, of course, they have sworn in a new president, the former parliament speaker. That's pretty much what the Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said in that press briefing. We can now get to our first story. We'll begin with Iran. The intelligence minister, Ghulam Hussein Mohseni Ejayi, has said the country's enemies conspired to instigate post-election unrest several months before the June 12th presidential poll. Ejayi made the remarks during an interview with the Iranian state television. He commented on efforts to destabilize Iran following the country's presidential election. As he said, the nation's enemies are upset with a secure and stable Iran. He added that several assassination attempts have been foiled following President Ahmadinejad's re-election. As he said, the country's enemies sought to dissuade people from voting. Iran's intelligence minister also accused the U.S. and Israel of being behind all the plots.
Iran has said the terrorist group Mojahideen Khalq organization, known as MKO, was involved in last Friday's attack on the country's embassy in Sweden. Iran's embassy in Sweden says MKO members have been photographed smashing windows, attacking embassy staff, and tearing down the fence. The silence injured three embassy personnel, one of them seriously. The announcement comes only 1 week after Iranian security officials said the MKO have helped intensify post-election violence in Iran. The MKO has carried out numerous deadly attacks in Iran. The group fought along former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein during Iraq's war against Iran in the 1980s.
Despite U.S. claims of not meddling in Iran's affairs, there are reports that the White House is moving forward with plans to destabilize the Iranian government. Former U.N. weapons inspector in Iraq, Scott Ritter, says Washington has been supporting a change of system in Iran by granting huge funds to Iranian opposition groups. This is not the first time Ritter makes such an allegation. In 2006, he wrote an article accusing the U.S. government of using American taxpayer dollars to fund activities that result in bloodshed inside Iran. He said the CIA has been providing material support to dissidents such as Mojahideen Khalq organization, which is also designated as a terrorist group by the U.S. The British daily, The Guardian, says in 2006, then-Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice asked Congress for millions of dollars in emergency funding to mount a propaganda campaign against Iran's government under the guise of promoting democracy.
The head of Iran's Expediency Council has described post-election incidents in the country as complicated sedition by mysterious elements. Akbar Hashmi Rafsanjani says the events have been aimed at fomenting discord among people and making them lose their trust in the Islamic system. He said national vigilance has always foiled such conspiracies. Rafsanjani praised the decision of the leader of the Islamic Revolution in extending the deadline of the Guardian Council to examine the candidates' complaints. He said the decision will be helpful in removing ambiguities. Rafsanjani called for the electoral watchdog's thorough and just examination of the complaints, as well as the candidates' cooperation.
Iran's defeated presidential candidates have missed their last chance to follow through their complaints at the Guardian Council. The five-day deadline is over, and the council is expected to present a report on alleged irregularities soon and call the announced election results valid.